We are deep into preseason. Many people don't like preseason. We spent a lot of the time in the first hour discussing ways to alter, maybe improve preseason. One guy who puts a lot of thought into these issues is a longtime NFL player agent, almost 30 years as a player agent in the National Football League. He is also a writer. He writes the Agents Journal for National Football Post. He is live on the line with us right now, a good friend of the show, Jack Becton. Jack, thank you very much for being on the air with us. We really appreciate it.
Hey, Big John. How are you, buddy?
We're doing great. Hey, we were thinking about what would make preseason better, and I want to bounce this off you. My idea, I guess. The Bills are down there. They're going to have joint practices with the Steelers for a couple of days, and most people agree the preseason is too long. Why not shorten things up, two preseason games, and mandate that every team get together with another team, match them up for a week's worth of practices? Wouldn't that get everybody ready to play a regular season and maybe minimize the injuries and be better for the fans, by the way?
Hallelujah. I think if you put that in front of the agents and players, we'd all vote yes. I mean, let's face it, one of the biggest atrocities of preseason is, fans paying full price for preseason games, right? It's the 800 pound, and it's not the grill in the room. It's very obvious that, it's a disservice to the fans. The players only get paid about $1,200 a game, all right?
Yeah.
So it's a disservice to them as well. Going into the first games, teams don't even game plan for each other. They don't even watch film for each other, the majority of teams. It's just, okay, let's just get through this first game. Let's get through the first series. Let's just kind of get some rust off. That's all you're getting, and we're paying full price for that as a fan. No, it's not fair. Everybody's losing across the board. So, I think some of those ideas are relevant, and I think, a lot like how baseball does spring training, just to kind of segue off of the idea you guys discussed there, to have joint practices and make it a destination type of thing in a stadium where fans are willing to pay 20 or 25 bucks a day to go watch it, I think it would be a great experience. And the NFL can make a little, turnstile revenue over a few days versus trying to get it one night, and then maybe there's a hard knock concept to it where it's televised for 3 or 4 days for practice, and they can create revenue from TV. So there's always a way to get things done where we protect the safety of the players at the same time.
Yeah, it's great that you mentioned the hard knocks concept. One of our callers mentioned that. And I also wonder, Jack, if coaches might prefer controlled practices where they can ensure that they're going to get, 15 snaps of red zone and 15 snaps of two-minute drill and 10 snaps of goal line, as opposed to hoping that they get that kind of work during a preseason game.
Yeah, absolutely, because let's face it, a lot of times the third quarterback never gets the work that he needs. There's so many third quarterbacks in this league that we have never seen go with the ones or twos. We don't know what they can do. And usually by their second, third, or fourth year, they're out of the league without us really knowing what they can do. Because, some guys that get drafted high or have the big names or Heisman winners, et cetera, they get all the reps, and, they still fizzle out of the league in 3-4 years. So there's a lot of undiscovered talent at different positions, whether it's, corner or linebacker, that, again, never get the reps to develop. And control practices would give coaches the ability to develop younger players and protect the veterans.
Jack, when a lot of people, when they talk about decreasing the number of preseason games, equate it with adding a couple of regular season games, the 18-game schedule that even the commissioner floated out there not so long ago. I would imagine players and agents are totally opposed to an 18-game regular season.
Yeah, I used to be, all for it, because I used to ask my clients, like, hey, if you got an extra 1/18th more of your paycheck in addition to what your salary is, would you do it? And a lot of them said yes, but I think as they get older and their bodies start wearing down, they rethink that answer. I think the big solution to that is to have 2 or 3 bye weeks. I mean, if we up, instead of going from 1 bye week, we have 2 bye weeks, the players get an extra weekend of practice, and maybe it's coming off of or it's ahead of anybody who's playing on Thursdays, right?
Yeah.
And eventually anybody who's going to London, because I think it's inevitable we're going to have a team there at some point. Hopefully it's not the Bills. And I think that, having that extra bye week will create a lot of flexibility into, elongating the season. That's really all the league wants, is to elongate it, and they can do that. They'll still have the same amount of, they'll even have one more week, but not having more games and putting the players at risk. And we all want healthy players. We want our best players to be healthy. So I think that would be a solution, and shorten up the preseason, the two games, and make them a little more relevant, too, those two games.
Live on the line with Jack Becht, a longtime player agent. He is a columnist for a National Football Post. In fact, just a week ago, you wrote about reasons to watch preseason games, Jack. And one thing that caught my eye, you said, you know, a lot of us try to read the tea leaves and see who's playing with whom. You think that's a bad idea when fans watch their favorite team in preseason? Don't pay attention to who they're playing with?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I said, like a lot of the first few games, they don't even game plan each other. You know, I saw the Texans and the Cardinals last weekend, and I got to tell you, you know, the Cardinals in the first quarter looked like a Super Bowl-bound team. But, you know, we don't, you know, Houston has a fairly new coach. They have some new players. They got, you know, your ex-quarterback. And they're just trying to coagulate the team. So it's hard to say, you know, it's hard to judge the Cardinals against the Texans right now. I mean, if you look at the game, you'd think the Texans might not win two games. But, come on, it's the first preseason game. Let's not read, you know, too much into it. I'm seeing online where rookies are getting judged and getting grades by, you know, us, you know, columnists and journalists. And, you know, there's just so much coverage out there. It's overkill. And, you know, we got to be patient. We got to let things come together. And but I think it's fun to watch the special teams, you know, watch these guys, you know, literally putting their lives on the line to try to make a team. I saw some amazing special team play, especially on the coverage side. And you got to watch that. And you got to watch, you know, what's going on in the sidelines, who's communicating to who. And it's fun to check out the young talent that, you know, will eventually be sleepers and guys we don't know about till a year or two from now.
In fact, when you wrote about reasons to watch preseason, I love the way you put it about special teams. You call it a war of mercenaries fighting for their football lives. You can see that when you watch special teams during these preseason games.
Oh, yeah, they're not trying to protect anything. It's all out on every single play. That's the bottom of the roster, and that's the bottom of the 90 roster fighting for jobs, you know, so... I mean, that alone is, if we can follow the details of who those characters are, you know, maybe that's what you can do with your fans there, you know, start highlighting some of these guys and who's trying to make the team. Hard Knocks does a really good job in doing that. But, you know, we remember those. The Bills have a history for having some of the greatest special teams ever and some of the greatest players ever that, you know, that used to get them to the playoffs back in the heyday. So, if anybody would appreciate it, I think it would be your fan base.
Hey, Jack, what did you tell or what do you tell your clients about risking life and limb during preseason? And does it differentiate between what you tell your rookies and fringe players and maybe the veterans who've already got a spot on the roster?
Yeah, you have to be direct as an agent. And you know, I have players that are, you know, built, you know, like Chevy trucks and, they carry their bodies out. And I gotta put a governor on those guys and go, hey, take a day off, please. Don't play special teams and don't play your position. You know, tell the special teams coach to take you off and kick off. I know you like doing it, but come on, we want to get to a second contract. You're not going to help the team being in the training room. So you might try to, you know, those guys who don't know how to say no or their own worst enemies. You know, I have a linebacker that played at Indy, Pat Anger, who just, you know, is 6 foot, 230 pounds, but he will run through a wall. And there's 1 year for the Colts. He was their starting middle linebacker, leading the league in tackles and playing punt and playing kickoff, to where I had to call the GM and go, look, you're going to kill this poor kid if you don't take him off some of these special teams. And they took him off that next week. So that's where the agent will come in. And then on the flip side of that, it's like you got to be straight up with a guy and go, hey, look, the only way you're going to make this active roster, the only way you're going to do it is by special teams. And you have to make plays. You can't make plays in practice. You got to make plays. You got to do whatever it takes. If you want to play in the league, you want to buy some time so you get a shot at your position, you better go make some plays and do whatever it takes to do it.
Are most general managers receptive to that sort of a call if the agent calls up and asks him to take them off special teams?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
No, they're not. But I think there's, you know, I've been an agent for 27 years. I grew up with the GMs in this league. I'm actually starting to get older than some of them. And, you know, you have these types of relationships where you can have these calls, and you just got to be careful who you're calling, that it doesn't get perceived that it came from the player. Like, a lot of times your player will get mad at you if you do it, but it's for his own good. And it just kind of could be an oversight that, and by the way, coaches and front office people sometimes see players differently, mm-hmm. and they see things differently. So a lot of the times the front office people, the GMs, the personnel directors, they have a little bit more sober approach to the long-term picture as coaches. Hey, win now, get me through this week, you know, so they can be a mouthpiece for us without, you know, rocking the boat.
We're on the line with Jack Bechta. He is a longtime player agent. He also writes a column for National Football Post, the agent's column. You wrote something about 6 weeks ago, Jack, that caught my eye, mostly because we launched this show 2 years ago, and people said, how are you going to do an NFL Bill show 12 months a year? It has not been a problem. And, in fact, you kind of documented, I thought, about 6 weeks ago, the ways in which the NFL became a 12-month sport. Can you talk about some of the reasons why, you know, the NFL is covered and thought about 12 months a year these days?
Yeah, and there's different components to it. One, of course, is fantasy football. So now you just don't care about your team. You care about all these other players that are in the league. You got to know who the rookies are coming out. You got to watch them through the, you know, the combine, and they're drafted. Are they going to play? Whose job are they taking? And a lot of that happens in the offseason, the same with free agency. So, you know, we have these, I think it's over 35 to 40 million, maybe 50 million fantasy football players who have to keep a vigil year-round on not only their own players, but potential players that can help them win their, you know, $100 in their fantasy league. Jeez. But so, again, that's one component. Then you have the advent of the NFL Network. They have to sell us content 12 months out of the year. So what does the NFL do for their baby? They start pushing things back. They push the draft back. They push free agency back. You know, they turned an 8-month cycle into 9.5, you know, then push it to 10. Camps used to start. Remember, camps used to start August 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th. Now they're starting July 22nd. We're getting a lot more coverage of OTAs around the horn, around the league. So the NFL Network, fantasy, and let's face it, you know, NFL football is our number one sport. So what do? We follow what all the players are doing in the off season now, all the news outlets. You know, there's dedicated sites like the one I write for that has to find content 12 months a year to pay the bills. So if they don't have it, they'll create it. And so you have a lot of content creation by, you know, TV, radio, journalists, 12 months out of the year if they want to keep their jobs.
Which takes me, and one last question here, Jack, to the Mark Cuban statement back in late May when the NFL was talking about the expansion of Thursday Night Football on a network platform, and Mark Cuban said the NFL was 10, he said, about 10 years away from an implosion. He said, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Do agents worry about that? Is there much discussion about that in the world of agents?
I don't think so, but I, at first when I heard that statement, I was kind of, I thought, up, yeah, somebody's a little jealous right now.
Yeah.
She bought an NFL franchise, but I think I know what he means. Like, it is a 12-month sport. It is, but that's because the consumer is commanding it and demanding it as well. I mean, we're not stuffing it down their throats. I mean, they want to eat at the table, right? And, you know, the passionate fan wants to know as much as he can about his team, especially if his baseball team isn't doing well or basketball team stinks or there's no other sports in the marketplace. Yeah, we want to follow it year-round, right? So, but I think what Cube is saying is that, you know, the NFL better be careful if they take a mystique and a mystery out of it. Maybe it will change. Maybe there'll be a tipping point that will go the other way. I think baseball did that in some way, shape, or form at some point. You know, I know we were getting a lot of the NBA at one time, and they had meteoric rises that kind of fizzled out eventually. So can it happen in the NFL? Yeah. I think something catastrophic would have to happen. I think in baseball we had, you know, the rampant use of drugs that was enhancing pitching and hitting and home run performance, which, hey, was a fun 10-year run, but we didn't know who was cheating and who was not. But we still consumed it. So, it would have to be something really catastrophic. But I see that the NFL does a great job in doing what they're doing. But, again, there's only 16 games, right?
Yep.
If there were 32, it would be a different deal, you know. But if there's only 16, and maybe there's 17, who knows? So that being said, we really covet what we get to see because we don't get to see enough of it.
Jack, we thank you for coming on the show with us tonight. We enjoy your column on National Football Post. Thanks a lot. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, read me tomorrow. I'd talk about maybe moving the Thursday night game to Friday, Super Bowl to Saturday, and a few other fun things.
Is that in the works, or is that speculation on your part?
I think that's speculation on my part. But it's something the fans want to talk about. They want to have that conversation.
Yeah.
They want to know. They there's a lot of people who don't like Thursday night football. It's a night they spend with their kids or they're getting home from work. It's too late on the East Coast, too early on the West Coast. And why not Friday night? Yeah, there's high school football, but not everybody has a kid in high school.
Yeah, and I've heard for years the talk about a Saturday night Super Bowl. I think that'd be a big hit with most fans.
Absolutely. Either that or we move President's Day.
Yeah.
So right after the Super Bowl.
You're right. Jack, thanks. We appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Okay. Jack Bechta, he is a NFL agent, and he's got his own website, NFLAdvisor.com. He is also a columnist covering the business of football for the National Football Post. And as he said, read tomorrow his thoughts on Thursday night football, perhaps moving to Fridays, and on moving the Super Bowl to Saturday. I'd be in favor for at least the Super Bowl move. I'd have to think a little bit about Thursday night becoming Friday night football. Our thanks to Jack Bechta. You can follow him on Twitter at Jack Bechta. Some good ideas there. About preseason, that's what we've talked about a lot tonight with the Bills on their way to Pittsburgh for their third preseason game. They play the Steelers there on Saturday night. They're going to practice with the Steelers tomorrow and Thursday.